So this is the first Tuesday night of the month of April 2016. And what I sometimes do when I give a Taisho on the first Tuesday night, because this is the one reserved for newcomers, whether or not they're newcomers, and there don't happen to be any tonight, is I revert back to what you might call Buddhism 101. Just the basics, which really is the essence. We can get very complex in these talks, talk about very highfalutin and deeply intricate things. But this is going to be about the basics. So I'm going to read from a piece by Yuan Wu, who was a Chinese Zen master. We've read from him before. He was one of Richard's favorites for these nightly talks. But before we do, and this is to highlight this part of what I'm going to say, I'm going to just state again what the three steps are in this practice. So the first step is what I would call the mechanics of Zen. The second step is the process of insight. And the third step is the process of integration. So it's mechanics, insight, and integration. Now, they seem to occur one after the other, because we always learn the mechanics first. Then we spend a considerable amount of time developing what one might call insight. And then the bulk of our practice after awakening, or after a development of a satisfactory amount of insight, is to really work on integrating that in your everyday life. So we seem to have these three stepwise stages of Zen practice. But in fact, they all go on simultaneously from the very beginning. Every time you sit down, you're working on mechanics. The correcting of your posture, the relaxing of your back and arms while you maintain a tautness, the way that you breathe without controlling it from deep in your hara, the jori-ki that develops as we repeatedly do this practice and set aside our thinking and meanings, and the work on our particular practice, be it breath practice, shikantaza, koan. All of these fit into the mechanics side. And even further, you could say that anything we might read about Zen, any talks that I might give about how to practice, are all in this mechanics thing, which we are constantly refining, partly through talks like this, which point you in the right direction, perhaps, but mostly through the intrinsicness of your zazen. So the mechanics are an aspect, an essential step, a stage, and at various times in our practice, we emphasize one of these three stages, and certainly if there were beginners here, the one that I'd be emphasizing right now would be this stage, this mechanic stage. How do you sit? How do you breathe? How do you get assigned a practice and then hold to that practice? What do you do about thoughts? How do you let go of meaning while you do no battle with thought but simply observe their sensation? All of those things that I've talked about so many times fit into this category. Now, while we're busy with the mechanics of Zazen, a simultaneous and oftentimes subconscious stage of insight is going on. The reason that it's going on is that it is already done. It is intrinsic. We are simply uncovering something, not creating something, but uncovering something that is already in operation, has been in operation from the very beginning. And through the very mechanics of Zazen, you can't help but see it. One Zen master put it this way. He said, at the beginning of a session, he said, if for the next 3 days you follow your practice down to the deepest rock bottom without a second thought, and don't come to full enlightenment, may I enter the deepest tongue-cutting hell. That's the way this Zen master put it. How could he be so certain about that, that he could make such a statement? Because if you really do this practice, you are already manifesting Buddha nature, which the Buddha said all beings have from the very beginning and do not attain through practice. Remember the famous saying by the Buddha, truly I gain nothing from complete unexcelled enlightenment. How could anything be gained if it's your intrinsic birthright? But this second stage of insight is a critical step or stage. And this is the one that once we develop a facility with Zazen and really enjoy doing Zazen and want to sit, this is the one that we focus intensely on during our sitting practice, this stage of insight, which I will go into further. And the third stage, one of integration, also goes on continually. Now, one way we work on it is during Kinhin. That is actually an integrative form of Zazen, where you are moving and sensations are happening, various things passing in front of your eyes, sounds, all the different sensations of walking, breathing, holding your hands on your chest, while you exit the north looking stage of insight into this integrative, you might call it en bloc, this one block of sensation while you're moving through the world. And when you leave this zendo, you are also doing that, consciously and unconsciously. It can't help but happen. And as your practice deepens and you begin to resonate more and more with this insight level that is intrinsic, when you're out and about meeting people, talking to people, doing things, being at work, cooking, eating, sleeping, relaxing, this is going on. And we have ways of speeding up the process and expanding it and refining it through all what we call subsequent koan, subsequent to the breakthrough koan. These are ways of really developing and refining this integrated process. Now, the most important aspect, I think, of the integrated process is the development of an invisibility of your insight. It is so natural, intrinsic, you're so at one with it that you don't even know it's operating, and neither does anyone else. So there's no smell there, there's no taint of being a Dharma practitioner that anyone might look up to you. So one Zen master put it this way, if birds were to strew flowers in my path, I would but feel humiliated. He was a deeply enlightened master, but if wild birds were to strew flowers in his path recognizing a living Buddha, he would but feel humiliated that he had not yet fully integrated the insight. So I want to just go back to the critical one, this insight. This is the key, the fundamental side of our Zen practice. And it has to do with learning to, as I've said before, turn north to see the North Star. Learn to turn the light of the mind in on itself. Learn to do what I've called so many times penetrating Zazen. Something that I feel is at times not emphasized by some modern approaches and modern teachings, which are more about just expressing your enlightenment as it is, and there's nothing special to find out. I think this is shortchanging a student. This penetrating Zazen is a critical aspect of our practice. And if you were to read the masters of old, as I will right now, you'll realize that this is all they talked about. This was the critical thing. It was on their mind day and night. So let me read from this Zen letters by the Zen master Yuan Wu. These are his teachings, and they were translated by the Cleary brothers, famous Buddhist Chinese translators. And I'm only going to read a part of this chapter or section called Entering the Path. So he's now talking about this second stage. The Tao is originally without words, but we use words to reveal the Tao. People who truly embody the Tao penetrate it in the mind and clarify it at its very basis. They strip off thousands and thousands of layers of sweaty shirts sticking to their skin and open through to awaken to the real, true, immutable essence, which is just as it is, originally real and pure and luminous and wondrous, wholly empty and utterly silent. When you reach the point where not a single thought is born, and before and after are cut off, you could say past and future cut off, you walk upon the scenery of the fundamental ground. This is a favorite saying of his. You walk upon the scenery of the fundamental ground. And one might say that this scenery has no particular color, sound, smell, taste, touch, thought. All the wrong perceptions and wrong views of self and others, what you could call the meanings that are attached to all the sensations, all the dharmas of everyday life with small d, all the wrong perceptions and wrong views of self and others, and quote is not, that make up the defiled mind of birth and death are no longer there. You are completely cleansed and purified, and you have complete certainty. Then you are no different from all the other enlightened people since time immemorial. You are at peace, not fabricating anything, not clinging to anything, freely pervading everything by being empty. Remember this truth, what you would call the source, your Buddha nature, Dharma nature, true self, real self, mind with a capital M, because it has no particularities, because it has no particular sound, smell, taste, touch, is or is not, self or other, thinking or no thinking. It doesn't fit in any of those categories. It is original, it is prior, it's what we call the source with a capital S. Because it is this way, it freely dissolves in each and everything. It's already present. It's original. He says, freely pervading everything by being empty, perfectly fused with everything without boundaries. You eat and dress according to the time and season, so you are not inappropriate to the moment-to-moment requirements. This is the beginning of this integrative thing. So it says, you eat and dress according to the time and season and have the integral realization of true normality. We were talking about this. You have the integral realization of true normality. This is what it means to be a true non-doing, unaffected wayfarer. Because it's intrinsic, so it's nothing special. It's your original birthright and everyone else's as well. So there's nothing to be proud of. There's no affectation involved. It's simply being what you are in each moment. However it comes, whether it's something you like or don't like, whether it's something you feel is spiritual or not spiritual, that doesn't matter. Because whether you think it's spiritual or not spiritual, whether you think it's neurotic or enlightened, all of those things are still emanating this one thing. What you might call nowness, shining this nowness. As I said in one of the teishas I gave in Sesshin, this nowness, which you could call being time, Dogen called it being time, Nowness, or this absolute time, is being. And being, what we call being, is knowing. And this knowing is intimate, only in the deepest center. And that center is everywhere. This is the essence of this path. So, a lot of words, but perhaps on some deep level it stimulates faith, points in a certain direction, resonates, and in some mysterious and strange way might help all of us. So we'll end there tonight.